Meredith, I would love to hear some more about the challenges of planning for a blended family.
Yeah, so estate planning is certainly already a challenging thing to think about because you're always kind of thinking about death and disability and not such a great topic. But when you do have a blended family, it's even more important because the number one litigated issue is the estate of a blended family. So what do I mean by that? Well, you know, statistics say that divorce rate is over 50%. So when people get divorced and then they go and meet somebody else who might be divorced as well, or maybe a widow, widower, then they're kind of blending their families and trying to figure out who gets what upon the death of one person versus the death of the other person. So I always try to really think through it with them and have that conversation to figure out, like, okay, if husband dies first, what happens? And then what happens upon the second death? And then we'll reverse it so that we can also kind of think through what happens on the first death of, and then making sure that everybody is still kind of reasonably in good terms. We can't assure perfect relationships amongst the family members, but often we try to at least lessen the friction. Often, so let's just say you have, partners that have children from previous marriages, okay? And they both come in with maybe somewhat equal shares of assets and, you know, they have their own. And they come in, see me, they said, oh, we've been married 5 years and now we want to take care of our estate. So I ask a lot about, are you hoping to just make sure that the surviving spouse has full access of your assets before your children get the funds? Okay. Sometimes husband and wife or partners will say, yeah, of course, we take care of each other first. And only when we both have gone will the surviving or the children get the rest of the assets. And that sounds perfectly fine, but it usually isn't perfectly fine. Because what happens is when the first person dies, the children on that decedent's side really are kind of wondering, well, do I get anything from dad's estate? Do I get anything from mom's estate? They might ask for some information. The surviving spouse potentially could just block them away from getting access to anything in the house, which of course is really hurtful because the family is looking at it like, well, what about dad's stuff that he had before he married you? Or maybe it was like heirlooms and pictures from dad's side of the family that really has nothing to do with this new wife or this second spouse. And so it's often difficult for the family to accept that, oh yeah, this surviving spouse will be fair and make sure that, you know, nothing's changed in the documents and that when he or she dies, they're going to get a piece of whatever dad's inheritance at some point, right? But it's that timing. Nobody has the crystal ball, so we have no idea when that timing will actually happen, where one spouse can die and it could be another 10 years before the second spouse dies. And then now maybe there was no relationship throughout that 10 years and family's wondering, well, what about me? Why didn't I get anything? Okay, so my concern and my general recommendation for family members like this, where they have a blended family, I say, try really hard to give a little something or give something to your children from your previous marriage. Do it right up front. Maybe it's life insurance. Maybe it's this particular account, or 50% goes to my surviving spouse. The other 50% already goes to my children. That way, the relationship can be not based on money or what happens upon death of the second. It's just dad dies, you get this. And really, if they want to have a continuing relationship, great. If not, they already know that they've already gotten the share from dad's estate. They don't have to worry about that. The second part of that is maybe also having one of the kids be co-trustees with the surviving spouse. I say that so that they don't get locked out of the house. So they don't get this like, nope, don't come here at all. We're not giving you any pictures. We're not giving you any of dad's memorabilia, anything like that. Because if one of the kids from dad's side is kind of working together with the surviving spouse and you've designated how much the kids are getting and the surviving spouse gets something too, then you hope that they will kind of walk away, get their share, get their items, and then not be kind of worried or distracted or, you know, feeling like you were disinherited from dad's estate. So that's one aspect of like really just planning for children of previous relationships. Because the surviving spouse, certainly, depending on what you do with your trust, can also make changes to that trust, right? Surviving spouse can say, he's gone now. I'm just going to give everything to my kids, forget his kids. And now all of a sudden she gets all the memorabilia, all the assets in the house, plus the financial instruments, plus the house. And now they only go to benefit her kids. And that's when it becomes really ugly. And it can go to litigation and the family can be, you know, just heartbroken and frustrated because they didn't get any type of say in dad's estate. But you could also tell me, well, I don't really care. Certainly it's your money, it's your assets. You could say, I don't care if my kids get anything or not get anything. I'm just going to benefit my spouse and then whoever she gives it to is fine. If that's your wish, I'm all for it. It is your decision. I'm not going to ever persuade anybody to do it any differently. I'm just giving you the good and the bad and the ugly just so you can make an informed decision. Okay. So that is a typical kind of scenario. Now, another typical scenario that maybe people don't think about is if a spouse that's coming into this marriage doesn't have children. Okay, so you have one spouse has children, other spouse has no kids. And the other spouse with no kids, he or she is very close to their nieces or nephews, or really likes her alma mater, or really likes to give to some of her friends. And, you know, it's not just all about giving it to the surviving spouse. So when there is no kids on the other side, then that's even more important to say, well, it's my money. I'm going to decide upon my death, okay, new spouse, I'll give you some, you know, you can have some of these assets, but the rest of it is going to go to this charity, this friend, this niece, this nephew, first, right at the top, and then you go on with your life with the amount that I gave you. That way, all of these people that you believe are important in your life can get their share without having to wait for the spouse to pass away. And also prevent that from even happening so that if the spouse is like, I'm not going to give to that charity, it's not my charity, that's going to be prevented because now we already have it at the first death, it's going to go to those people. And the only way to assure that your wishes are going to come true is to have another third-party trustee, either as co-trustee or as the sole trustee. Having a third party makes a huge difference. Eliminates the emotion. It makes sure everybody's on the same page. I'm going to follow the rules of the trust. Nothing more, nothing less. And the family members can basically not have this uncomfortable feeling of having to ask for documents, having to ask for the status, having to ask when is the distribution going to be made, because now you have this third party as the buffer. So whether you're married the first time, or maybe it is your second marriage, or you're just even in a cohabitation scenario where you're not getting married, but you've been together for years and you want to take care of each other and take care of your children or beneficiaries for that matter, definitely write it down. Write it down. Get an estate plan done. Otherwise, the default is likely not going to be what you would want. The default, if you don't do a will, if you don't do a trust, if you don't do any planning, the default is more money to the government, more money to probate court, more money to lawyers who are going to go to probate court for you. And really, it's going to go inadvertently to people that you probably didn't plan on benefiting. And so just important to go ahead and get it all done, write it down, and then we can talk through all of these different scenarios, get your wishes down on paper. And then we always recommend every 3 years, let's chat again. Let's see if there's any updates or changes, because life does happen. And maybe you might have different beneficiaries that you prefer to give to. So it's always changeable unless you become incapacitated and certainly upon death. So again, this is Meritestbot. Hopefully you learned a little something. And if you have questions, give us a call. We'll be happy to help you out. Thanks.